Je luistert naar een studie van Calvary Chapel Haarlemmermeer. We bidden dat de Heer tot je zal spreken en je zult groeien in jouw persoonlijke relatie met de levende God. Bezoek voor meer informatie onze website calvarychapel.nl. Dat is calvarychapel.nl.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, come on up, guys, whoever would like to be comfortable.
Thanks.
I don't spit too much. No. Yeah. But, it's a great blessing, a great privilege to be with you men. And I apologize, this is, I'm speaking English, but many of you have already heard your English is better than mine. So, I'm not too intimidated. But, I've just been so blessed already meeting some of you and just learning of your hearts for the Lord and the call of God upon your lives and different parts of your story. And you know, to me, there's nothing more exciting than to gather with men who love Jesus. I mean, I've been in many different contexts. I've been a pastor. I've been a missionary. I've been a Christian a long time. But I can look back over my life and I can see times where again and again, very special things happened in my life and in my experience with Jesus when a group of men decided to gather together to really pursue the things of God. You know, so the potential for what God wants to do in these days is really great. And I'm very humbled to be with you. And I'm also very just kind of humbled by the topic. You know, the topic that we have for these sessions is, of course, one of the most wonderful there could possibly be, this idea of discipleship. And really, a disciple, of course, as we know, is he's a learner. He's a follower. And you can be a disciple of many different things, but as we have gathered, right, we're speaking of discipleship in the context of being followers and learners of Jesus Christ. And kind of my plan for the next few sessions is tonight I would like to talk about the importance of discipleship to the individual, to me. You know, it kind of starts with us, right? And discipleship's a big word. It covers many things. But why is it important to me to be a disciple and to pursue these things? Then our next session, we'll talk about why is discipleship important through me for others and that aspect of discipling others. And we'll get into some practical things about working in that way with other people. And then our third session, I'd like to talk about discipleship in light of God's great plan, God's great purpose for this earth, right? And discipleship plays a role in that. And so tonight, again, we'll just kind of start with us, right, the individual. And if it's okay, I'd like to just pray one more time. And Father, I thank you for these men. I thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather together with one another, but Lord, to gather with you. And we just pray now, Father, that you would just fill this room with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And you would even fill the rooms we're going to be sleeping in and all these things. That Lord, this would just be a time set apart with you, Lord God. And we also pray for great grace that things maybe we brought with us here, distractions, worries, things of our jobs, things of our families or health or these things that creep into our minds and steal our attention and our ability to focus. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus to just set our minds free and our hearts free that we might hear and receive from you in these days. And then, Lord, we just desire that you would speak to us through your word, that you would just open our hearts and open our eyes, Lord, to hear you and to see you and to receive the things you have for us in these days. And so we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, I'm going to start with some kind of basic things, and we'll just sort of walk through them, okay? So some fundamental things is that discipleship starts, right, when we become Christians, and in the context that we're thinking about. I mean, we see in the Bible sometimes there were followers of Jesus and learners of Jesus, and they were kind of listening and following in a certain way, but then it got a little tough for them, or some teaching seemed a little bit difficult. And we see actually in John chapter 6, in verse 66, and you're probably familiar with the passage, Jesus began to teach hard things. And it's starting in verse 66, or actually we could start in verse 60. Jesus began to teach these hard things in verse 60. It says, "And therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, 'This is a hard saying, and who can understand it?'" And then as we get down to verse 66, it says, "And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." And so there were some who were kind of interested to learn a little bit, and there were some who were interested to follow to a point, but then they reached a point where they didn't want to do it anymore. And so many, many disciples left. What an interesting moment. Have you ever known someone who started out kind of in a church or being sort of Christian or interested in the things of Christianity, and then they walked away from it? It happens, doesn't it? That kind of thing. At some point, they make a choice to not follow, to not learn, to not be a disciple of Jesus. And then verse 67, it got to a point where Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" Okay, here's a test. Here's a moment to find out who you are. Is this hard thing is happening? It's not easy. And Jesus kind of like opens the door for him. "Do you guys also want to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him and said, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so it wasn't easy. It wasn't simple. It was a point where many others had kind of made the decision that, well, maybe this is not for me. But others, the 12 and others, made the decision, no, this is what I want. You know, Jesus has the words of eternal life. Jesus is the one that I want to follow. And so disciples, in the context that we're going to be talking about, are those ones who have made the choice to be followers of Jesus. They want the plan and the program of Jesus for their lives. Have you made this decision deep in your heart? You know, have you also said, you know, kind of looked at everything else that's out there in the world, and there's riches and there's fame and there's things of the flesh and all this other stuff, right? And it's all attractive, and many people in the world live for those things. And the goals of their life and the energies of their life and the time of their life go in the direction of those things. You know, and Jesus says, "Hey, will you also go away?" And or have you said deep in your own heart? And this is a decision each one of us has to make, isn't it? No one else can make it for us. Have you had that time where you just said, "Lord, where can I go? You have the words of eternal life, and I'm all in. Lord, I'm just yours, good or bad, and up and down, and all these things. I've just settled it, Lord, that I'm a follower of you." And, you know, and that's a point where real discipleship begins, right? You're in. You're all in. It's not one foot in the water and one foot on the land and one foot in the door and one foot out. You know, you can be there for a while, but that's not the place where the things that we're going to talk about happen, right? It's when we're all in. And so we're all in. What happens when we're all in? Well, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 12, and again, I know these are going to be very familiar verses, I think, to many of you, but we'll just look at them and walk through them together as brothers. It says in John 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him," received Jesus, "to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And so, you know, as we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we enter in right to this new place, and we become sons of God. And okay, we're in. And it happens, it's by grace that we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. And so salvation comes in a moment as the gift of God, as I recognize my need for him. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. No good works, you know, no being born in some family or something like that can do that miracle. It's a work that was done on the cross, where Jesus died for me and bled for me and paid for my sins. And right, salvation is the most expensive thing in the universe. Have you ever heard someone say, "Oh, you know, that's too easy to just pray and receive Jesus," you know, and you're saying, that's too easy. It can't be like that. Dear friends, it's not easy. Only one could do it. Only the perfect one, the perfect Son of God. He's the only one. And he paid the most terrible price, and he paid it all. And because Jesus paid, you and I receive freely. And so that's the beginning, right? And as we receive him, we have the right to be called the sons of God or the children of God. So, okay, that happens. And then if any man is in Christ, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. So we receive Christ. In a moment, we're saved. And we enter into a whole new place. You know, all these things that controlled our life and determined our life, our sins and lies of the devil and all these things that bound us and chained us and confused us, you know, it goes away. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And as we enter into the truth of the gospel and the truth of being saved people, we're new creatures in Christ, and you and I are given a clean slate and a new life to begin. And then, what about this life? Well, Jesus says, it's an abundant life, right? I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly, in John chapter 10 and verse 10. And so, it's a new life, it's a new beginning, it's an abundant life. But dear friend, do you know whose life it is? In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And here's where it kind of starts getting important, right? Very important. Paul says that I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what is this new life I have? What does it look like? How does it play out? It's Christ's life. It's his life. And I have died, right? It's like that old man, that old John is gone. And now I have a new life. What does that life look like? It looks like his life. What's God's goal for you as a Christian man? What's God's goal for Christians? Well, turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 8. And here's God's great plan for you and for me. What's God going to do with our lives? What is the great work that he is working in your life and my life? His goal for us. Well, it tells us, verse 28, we love verse 28. It says in Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, look at verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What is God's plan for your life? It is to make you like Jesus. That is God's great goal. And that's the thing that he's going to be working out in the days that we have left here on planet Earth. I mean, he has lots of other things for us too. He has work for us to do. He has lives for us to touch. He has joys for us to experience and all these things. But in it, the great goal of God for your life and for my life is to make us like Jesus. That his perfect Son is kind of the one that he is conforming us to and making us like. Well, how does that happen? Well, God begins to work, and then there are things that we enter into. If I want to be a disciple, you know, I want to be a learner of Jesus and a follower of Jesus, and I want to be conformed to his image, there are ways that God is going to do that. And so that means, how do I learn about him? How do I grow? Well, I need to be a man of his word, right? And so part of this discipling thing, if the goal is for me to be made like Jesus, well, who was Jesus? The Bible tells us that Jesus was the Word of God, that in the beginning was the Word, right? And it's one of the names for him. We see as Jesus functioned on this earth, how did he deal with the trials and the tribulations and the things that came up when Satan came to him and tempted him? And in Matthew chapter 4, how did he deal with it? He dealt with it with the Word of God. It was the Word of God that answered each one of Satan's temptations. And he was able to kind of put Satan in his place and say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so that means if I want to be a disciple, if I want to be conformed to the image of God's Son, I have to be a man of his word. I have to be. I have to be able to answer, the devil when he comes to my life. I have to be able to have the wisdom of the Word of God to kind of sort out the situations of my life and know what to do and in the light of God's truth, not in my emotions, not in my own thoughts, not in what everybody does in my culture. I need the truth of God, the Word of God, to order my steps. So to be a disciple, to achieve the goal that God has for my life, it's got to be the Word. I need to be a man of prayer. You know, and if you look at the life of Jesus, isn't it interesting? Jesus was God's Son. Jesus was perfect. Jesus, had this uninterrupted fellowship with the Father, but yet his life was a life of prayer all the way through. If you look in the Gospel of Luke, and it's an interesting study, right, to just go through the Gospel of Luke and look at the life of Jesus and his ministry. In Luke chapter 3, in verse 21, as we see Jesus at his baptism, it said, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And notice, while he prayed, the heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, you are my beloved Son, and in you I am well pleased. If you continue on in the Gospel of Luke, and you look in chapter 5, so Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit as he prayed. In chapter 5, verse 15, Jesus has a heavy workload. It says, and the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him, of their infirmities. What did Jesus do when his workload was great? verse 16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. As we go on, how did Jesus make big decisions in his life? We'll turn to chapter 6 and verse 12. And it says, now it came to pass in those days that when he went out to a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And verse 13, and when it was day, he called his disciples to him, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So Jesus made the big decisions in his life after he prayed, the Son of God. And we can kind of go on and on through the book, and there's just kind of prayer passage after prayer passage, all the way up until let's just jump all the way to chapter 11. I mean, at the Transfiguration, Jesus is praying, all these other things. But then in chapter 11, verse 1, Jesus again is praying. And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place that he ceased. And then his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so Jesus was a person of prayer. And his disciples understood that they needed to be people of prayer. And so if I, you know, for me to be the man that I need to be, I need to be a man of prayer. I need to be able to walk in that and have that be the strength and the great resource of my life. And so it's God's will that you grow in the area of prayer. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, speaking of men who want to follow Jesus, what was Paul's first priority for the church and the men in the church? Here we are, we're gathered, the men of the church. And it says in chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, it says, Paul is talking, he says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications and prayers and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men and for kings and for all who are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the eyes of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And so Jesus was a man of prayer, a person of prayer, and we are to be. And then in fellowship, this is it to be an aspect of our life as disciples. 1 John chapter 1. Here John writes of his experience with Jesus. And he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the word life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Jesus, you know, was in fellowship with his disciples. Fellowship is that word koinonia, having kind of all things in common with them and sharing life with them. And Jesus shared that with his disciples, and then that is what they desired to share with others. And we must be right in fellowship with Jesus and in fellowship with one another to be the men that God calls us to be. And then, dear brothers, another important part of your Christian life and where all these things kind of come together is in the area of trials and tribulations. You see, Jesus had those. And it says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, unless you become weary and discouraged in your souls. For you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And so, you know, brothers, part of our discipleship process is trials and tribulations that then force us to make real all these other things. But, you know, when does the word mean the most in our lives? And when do we pray? When do we really learn to pray? When do we really learn the value of the fellowship of Christian brothers and Christian people? Well, dear friends, it's as the fire comes upon our lives, right? And this is an important part of the process of discipleship. And it's one that you don't really get in any kind of course book or set of videos or anything like that, right, that they talk about discipleship. In God's school, it works a little bit different. And we are told that we need to walk by his word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God wants our faith to increase, so we need the word. You know, God wants us to be men of prayer, and we know that, and we kind of learn the words that go along with prayer. God wants us to love one another and to bear one another's burdens. But dear friends, it's really in the fire that these things become real in our lives, doesn't it? And it's in the fire that we appreciate the power of these things. And so trials and tribulations are the tests of our discipleship. And in James chapter 1, what does he say? He says, count it all joy when these things come upon your life. Because what's the fruit of them? Faith, right? Patience and faith. And these things grow and become real. You see, God wants you to be real Christians. God wants you to be real men of his word. God wants you to be real men of prayer, just like he desires it for me. And he wants us to love one another and appreciate one another. So you know what he's going to do? He's going to send trials and tribulations into your life. And in sometimes, what's going to happen is like what we just saw happen in John chapter 6, right? Some people will say, this is hard. Who can handle this? And it will be the test of who you are and what we desire in life. Do we just want this thing to be over? Do I just want to be free or out of it? Or do I want to walk with Jesus right through this thing? And dear friends, here is God's program of discipleship for your life. And I just believe each one of you, God's hand is upon your lives. And he wants you to be men that he can use in great and mighty ways. And he wants you to know his word and to learn it, to read it, to study it. But he also wants it to be real in the hard places in your life. And so things are going to come. Perhaps tonight you're right in the middle of some hard thing and some crazy thing. And maybe it was even difficult for you to get here, you know, because things are breaking loose in your life. And, oh my goodness, you know, what are we going to do? But, you know, you're probably exactly where God wants you to be. You're in his school of discipleship. Just think about how it was for the disciples. Let's see, was theirs a kind of easy sort of discipleship? Did they sit behind desks with notebooks and computers? Is that how it worked? Well, I mean, how did it work? I seem to remember they were walking through some fields and they were so hungry, they were eating the heads of wheat. Have you ever been so hungry that you tried to make a meal out of a wheat head? Have you ever even eaten one? They're not very nice. You know, I mean, they were starving. Have you, you know, gone into places where you were rejected by Samaritans and they just said, you know what, you guys, yeah, you're hot and thirsty and everything, but you know what, just keep going out of our village. We don't want you in here anymore, you know, and why don't you move down the street? And they were so angry, they wanted to bring fire down upon those guys. It was so unfair and unjust. And yet Jesus led them into that place. How about dealing with the demonic, you know, or being in storms in the middle of the sea and all these different things? And yet Jesus led them into those places. And you know what? They learned to pray. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. They had seen how Jesus had prayed, right, through all these different things. And they had seen a pattern in the life of Jesus. And it was a pattern of prayer. And as they walked with him through his life, you know, Jesus was living his life here on earth. And the disciples were invited into his life. You know what? It wasn't so easy. And it wasn't so friendly. But you know what? They had the privilege of walking with Jesus. What a thing. Do you want it easy? Do you want it all laid out, kind of smooth or easy? Or do you want to walk with Jesus? What choice would you make tonight, brothers? If you had to pick between the two, and can I say something? You will have to pick between the two. You will make that choice because it will come your way. You know, maybe you'll see it coming, or maybe it will be in some unexpected way. But again and again, Jesus will give us the opportunity. He'll invite us to follow him, to deny ourselves, and to take up our cross and to walk with him. And there's no greater privilege that will ever be offered a man on earth. There's no promotion, there's no bank account, no fame, no, you know, nothing that can come close to walking with Jesus, being one of his men, being a man that Jesus teaches through his word, being a man that is able to have communication with him at any time. You can talk to him, you know, when everything goes wrong. You know, when things are happening in your family or things are happening on your job, when there are others that you love in the church and you care for them and you want to help them and there's nothing you can do, you know what? You can talk to Jesus about that. You can go in prayer and you can bring it right to him. And when nobody on earth can help you, when nobody on earth can answer you or give you wisdom about what to do, Jesus will be there for you. And you know what? He will conform us into men of prayer. And he will conform us into men of his word. And men who long for his presence. And the presence of others who know him and love him. Because we understand they get it. Right? What we're trying to be and what the plan of God is for our life, the world does not understand. Have you seen that, right? The world doesn't get us. You know, who understands us? Each other, right? I'm trying to walk with Jesus. I'm trying to honor him and be close to him and walk in his way. And you are trying to walk with Jesus. And you know what? That just puts amazing things in common between us. And there can be all kinds of differences, and we can have all kinds of challenges. And that isn't the church a place of challenge? Things go wrong in the church all the time. There are challenges in relationships and challenges as difficulties and things come up. But you know what? Do you want to walk with Jesus? Do I want to walk with Jesus? Do we want to kind of say no to ourselves? And you pursue Jesus and I pursue Jesus. And you know what? We'll come to that place again. We'll come to a place where we meet and we'll meet in him and we'll have the opportunity to learn that fellowship with Jesus will always lead us to fellowship with one another. And things that hinder our fellowship with one another are usually hindering our fellowship with Jesus. And we will learn about fellowship. We'll become disciples, followers, learners, you know, at the feet of Jesus through these challenges that life brings our way. You know, dear brothers, you need Jesus. You need him. You won't make it through life without him in the way that God desires. You won't achieve God's goals for your life without him. And so you need to be a disciple. I need to be a disciple. The way of his word, his truth, the way of prayer and laying hold of the resources of heaven, the way of a love for God's people and each other. You know, this is our way. And this is what God has for us. And so, you know, we have to have it clear in our minds. Sometimes I think the devil comes and he whispers, and it's like, well, don't get too extreme with this stuff. You know, don't go crazy. Don't be nutty. Don't be a religious fanatic. You know, just kind of back off and be like us and be normal and have a foot here and a foot there. But Jesus says, come walk with me. Come be my disciple and learn of me. You know, Paul had to figure these things out. And if you turn to Philippians chapter 3, we get a little peek into Paul's process. Paul understood that to be a disciple was to make hard choices, and to pursue one thing meant to leave other things behind. Paul understood trials. Paul understood all these things that we've just been talking about here. But let's pick it up in Philippians chapter 3. In verse 7, he's been kind of talking a little bit about who he was as a religious Jew and who he was, you know, being a member of the tribe of Benjamin and a Hebrew of the Hebrews and a Pharisee and all these different things. He had all these credentials and accomplishments. But let's start reading in verse 7. And it says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And let's look at Paul's life for a little second here. In verse 7, you know, he had all this kind of stuff, accomplishments, credentials, and all these different things. But Paul said, the things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. In other words, none of these things were as important as Jesus. And if they were going to keep him from Jesus, he was going to let them go. And you know, dear brothers, we're going to be tested in this place too, aren't we? Is there anything in your life more important than Jesus? Is there any goal or priority in our life that is higher than being close to him, being his man, wanting his goals accomplished in our life? And you know, it's easy for us to answer that question quickly tonight and say no. You know, Jesus is the top. But you know, when you really, really find that out, is when he takes it away, won't he? When he touches it. And maybe that thing has to go. And then you find out who you are and the choices you've made and these sort of things. And you know what? God loves us so much. And God is so kind. And you guys are such beloved sons of God. You know, when God does things like that in our life, he does it with a loving hand. He does it with a hand desiring the very best for his sons and the highest goal and the greatest blessings. And so if God has reached into your life in some place and said, you know what, son, that thing's got to go. You know what, son, that's in the way. And I'm going to pull this thing out of your life. You know, it's a holy moment It's not God doing damage or bringing confusion or cutting something out of your life just to be mean or cruel. He does it with a hand of love, that there would be nothing between him and his sons, and that the greatest goals that a man could ever have would be your goals, as he enables us, you know, to go forward with these things kind of taken out of our life. Paul knew what that was. He says, notice he says, I counted them loss for Christ. But then look in verse 8, I indeed count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. But was he bitter against God? Was he angry that his plan didn't work out? Was he disturbed? You know, God touched something in his life or disrupted his plans? No, I've suffered the loss of all things, but I count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. You know, Paul was there and he's like, okay, you know, here I am, career, success, financial gain, security, Jesus, you know, and he's weighing them out and weighing them out. And then all of a sudden the scale just tips and all this stuff goes away. And it's like, I win. I've still got Jesus. And Jesus has still got me. And dear brothers, it's a place that sometimes God will bring us because of his love for us and his good thoughts and his good plans for us. Let's continue. And it says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, verse 9, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10, here's Paul's desire, here's his heart, and it's the heart of a disciple. You want to see, get a peek of a heart of a disciple? Here it is. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. What does Paul want? He wants to be with Jesus. He wants to be there when the dead are raised into heaven. He wants to know fellowship with Jesus through the good times and through the bad times. And it's the goal of his life. And verse 12, not that I've already attained. Paul the Apostle, I mean, the guy that wrote most of the New Testament and gave us most of our theology and, you know, evangelized most of the known world at that time. He says, I haven't attained. I haven't arrived. Dear friends, Paul was still a disciple. He was still a learner. He was still pursuing the things of God, even though he knew a lot and had a lot of experience in his life. And you know what? We will never attain all that God has for us if we just reach a plateau in our Christian life and say, you know what? I've been a Christian for a long time. I know a lot of stuff. I know a lot more than a lot of other people. Maybe I even know more than everybody in the church. I'm good. I don't need to learn anymore. I don't need to grow anymore because I've reached it. Paul never reached it. Paul never got to that place. Paul was hungry to know more of Jesus. Paul was hungry to experience more of his presence and more of his power in his life. And then he says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. You know, what is the great work that Jesus has for you to do? What is that thing that you were created for to accomplish? You know, there is something. You know, each one of you was created as a unique part of the plan of God. The earth would not be the same if you had not lived here, right? God's plan would not be complete without you, because before the foundations of the earth, he saw you and he loved you and he created you to be the man that you are. You know, you're a part. And notice, sometimes that lie comes into our mind and it's like, well, you know, I'm not really anybody. You know, I go to church and I'm kind of a good guy and I want to be a Christian. And, you know, but I'm really nobody and I'm not anything. Dear friends, it's not true. You've got a part And how will you know what that is? How will you pursue it and find it? Well, Paul just says, I'm just going to keep going. And he says, I'm pressing on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. You know, Christ has a purpose in your life. Has it been accomplished yet? You don't know. What if it hasn't? Press on. Press deep. Learn, grow, love, serve. Enter in deeper. Maybe the greatest chapter of your life is yet to be written. Maybe you're no longer young. You know what? Moses wasn't young when the greatest part of his life began. Maybe you're very young and you think, man, I got plenty of time before God starts getting serious in my life. What about Timothy? What about Joseph? What about Esther? Press in. Make today a day where you just decide, God, I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. I want to apprehend. I want to lay hold of that thing for which you laid hold of me. Verse 13, brothers, I don't count myself to have already apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And dear friends, here is, notice verse 15 and 16. Here's a mark of maturity. Therefore, let us, as many are mature. Who's a mature Christian? Who's a grown-up Christian? Who's someone who is a disciple? Paul says, let as many as are mature have this mind. Press on. Press forward. Want to know more of Jesus. You know, just like Paul is right here. He is modeling the mature Christian. And he just says, hey, if you're mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. You know, if you got issues and you're a little bit confused, God loves you. If you're not a mature Christian yet, he's going to keep working because he wants to conform you to the image of his son. And sometimes we think, you know, I'm a bad Christian. I make so many mistakes. You know, nobody else seems to make all the mistakes I do. And I fall backwards and I go sideways. And oh, man, you know, I'm just, you know what? God is for you. God is, you know, we may give up on ourselves, but God will never give up upon you. And we just need to kind of keep going. And if we're missing something, if we're immature somewhere, what does Paul say here? You know what? God will reveal that to you. He'll help you figure that out. He's not against you or condemning you. You know, he's for you. And then verse 16, he just says, nevertheless, to the degree we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Okay, maybe I'm not a super Christian. Maybe, you know, I'm not a baby Christian anymore. I'm somewhere in here. Paul just says, you know, whatever level you're at, keep going. Press in, go forward, and achieve that thing that God has for you. And tomorrow we'll talk about it again, the importance of these things for others. And that's a whole nother question, and that will take us into another place. But others is key to understanding the importance of your own life. And I'm running a little bit of a risk tonight just talking about, you know, discipleship in myself, because discipleship is never just about yourself. Who you are as a Christian affects many others, and it will have an impact on many lives beside your own. And if you are a strong Christian or if you are a weak Christian, it will affect the lives of many others. And so we want to understand that too, and we'll get into that a bit more tomorrow. But tonight, it's about you and Jesus. And again, the goal of your life. What's that deep thing? If you had one wish tonight and it could come to pass, you know, would it be for a Ferrari? Would it be for a bank account? Would it be for a house somewhere on some, you know, or would it be, you know, man, could I be closer to Jesus? Could I walk in kind of a fuller anointing of his Holy Spirit on my life? Could I understand more clearly his will and purpose for my life? You know, could I just press closer to Jesus? You know, if that's the desire of your heart, can I tell you something? You know, sometimes we dream big dreams and they're impossible dreams. You know, you might want to be the best friend of the President of the United States or be the best friend of some movie star, or great singer, right? And you know what? Let me just tell you, that's never going to happen, okay? You know, that won't happen. You're dreaming a big dream. Those kind of things, probably not. You can dream about winning the lottery, you know? Yeah, that would be great, you know, some kind of thing. But probably not. That's never going to happen. But how about dreaming a dream of being a friend of God, of walking with God in this life, of facing everything that this life will bring your way with the very presence of God. God speaking to you. God guiding you. God helping you to help other people. God using you to accomplish his purpose here in life. Is that a big dream? It's the biggest dream any man can ever dream, isn't it? To walk with God. To be a friend of God like Abraham. And you know what? That's a very big dream. It's the biggest. But you know what? It can happen. Because that's God's plan and God's purpose for you men. The devil doesn't want that. He's like, anything but that. You know, send him this, send him that. Let him think about this thing and let him think about this thing. Throw some trials on him. You know, get him confused and depressed and get him to quit. Or throw some money on him and get him greedy and focused on material things. Or throw some women at him, you know, and get him all hung up about girls, anything but that, right? And he will pull out all these things. And the great battle of your life is to go for God's best. And God's best is himself. You know, you with him and he with you walking through life. And him pouring his life and his power through you. That's God's plan for his man. And you know what? That's what's available to us if we want it. If we're willing to press in. If we're willing, like John and Peter and James, to just keep walking. You know, when it's kind of hungry or confusing or it's tough. Or, you know, they just kept walking. And they got to see the whole story of Jesus all the way through, from the beginning to the end. Were they super intellectuals? Did they deserve this? Was there something about them that was so special and wonderful that they were better than every other kind of person? No, they were just men who had chosen to follow Jesus and walk with Jesus. And they did all the way through. And brothers, Jesus offers us the same thing tonight. But we it's a choice that you and I make. And it's the choice of being a disciple. Well, let's pray. Yeah, Father, I just thank you so much for my brothers and this kind of precious time that we have right here. And Lord, we just pray against any kind of weirdness. We don't want to put any trips on anybody or anything. But God, how wonderful that you love us. How wonderful that you invite us to be your friends. And how wonderful, Lord, that your desire for us is that we could know you. That you could accomplish things through our life and use us just who we are and work through our minds and our hands to touch other people and to bring blessing and kindness and mercy and grace and all these things that the world so desperately needs. Lord, would you just grant us our request? Lord, we want to be your friends. We want to be your disciples. And we just pray, help us. If there's things that are in the way, Lord, would you just help us to dump those things? Would you help us, like Paul, to just say, you know, I'd rather have Jesus and to just choose you again and again and again in life. And so, Lord, we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Tell you right now, it's gonna be alright.